awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's the TagCast Podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch. The TagCast Podcast starts right now.
Your fucking purse is on the porch.
I'll fucking leave my purse anywhere I want.
Put another log on fire. Cook me up some bacon and some beans. And go out to the car and change the tire.
Your purse is on the porch.
Wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans. Come on, baby.
Listen to the TagCast.
He said, fill my pipe. That's a good thing.
Oh, right on. Welcome, everybody, to the TagCast episode 429. And, hello. Welcome to episode 429. I am one of your cohorts.
That's a host, that's a cohort.
Yep. Gatch.
Galapagolagus.
Yep.
And I'm Terry Guile, and it is hump day. Terry Guile, Galapagolagus. Okay, hey, you should wash your car on Sunday. That's what he said. We're listening to some Tom Paul Glasser, a song written by Shel Silverstein.
Uh-huh.
A special request from our guest, and that rhymed.
Jim Louder.
He's on a quest.
Yeah.
What's going on, my friend?
You know, nothing really. I mean,
you got to
get comfortable here. There we go.
These chairs aren't good for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to get comfortable.
School rolling to an end, right? The summer's coming up.
I dropped out.
Oh, did you?
No, yeah. I mean, I'm taking spring and summer off. I'm going back to work and just kind of straightening out my shiz.
Right on.
I got to tell you, it feels really good to just be a carpenter.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. And not have to study all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you for the working folks out there understand very well that you go to work, you get home, and you're done. You don't have to think about it anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, for the students out there, they know that you're a student 24
you're never
hours
done.
A day.
Yeah.
Your weekends are entirely spoken for, mm-hmm. unless you haul ass throughout the week, which is impossible. Your work suffers. So, yeah. So I'm doing that because in the fall, I've got big boy classes.
Right on.
So
right on.
I'm going to mentally prepare for that. And, no more.
Hell yeah.
Hit her hard. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't even know what you're going to school for. Do you have a field that you're going specializing in or?
Fungology.
I study biology.
I was close. I ended with anology.
Of all things.
I was
close. Right on.
Yeah.
You do anything
biology.
On like soil animals, right?
No, I think I'm going to focus on fisheries. I'm going to get into
the
fisheries program over there at OSU. And I'm going to, take as many classes on mycology as I can because, you know, being a fungophile and all that, certainly interested in that. And from the friends I have that are in the biology program over there, they say it's pretty easy to just throw those classes on as electives. And
so you go to, like, the hatcheries and you count fish eggs and stuff like that? Or no, I don't know what your fish, you know, your hatchery stuff, right? Like studying the biology of fish.
That's right. Fish biology.
Yeah.
Sounds fishy to me.
Now, I had a friend one time who caught a fish, and he grabbed the fish, and what he did was he squeezed it, and the fish ejaculated.
Uh-huh.
With a big old salmon just, like, making a white rainbow.
Wow.
Yep, they'll do that.
And
that's the funnest part about fishing.
I always make fun of him because he jacked off a fish.
Yeah, but not intentionally, did he? He didn't do it.
I don't know. I never really asked him.
Because was he just squeezing or was he like...
No, you know how you hold a salmon with your hand down there by their junk. You kind of cradle their balls, their fish balls.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
That's what you do.
And if any of you kids at home are going to try that when you're out fishing, at least let them dump that load into the water. Don't waste it on the bank.
Yeah. Don't spray it on your face.
Yeah.
It's not a money shot.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I've been to, like, when salmon spawn and they go up to this, you know, you just see a whole bank of, like, salmon just laying up near there. They're all, you know, and then they get all white afterwards and go and die the life cycle of the fish.
It's pretty interesting.
We found some pretty battered up salmon that have spawned up and down the river tons of times, and they're just like practically dead.
Yeah,
or they're dried out on the banks, like a little tiny rock bank.
Like my little nephew, when he was like 6 or 7, just was by the river, and he had a stick, and he just like picked up this huge salmon. I mean, it was still alive, but it was practically dead. It was beat to shit. But
yeah,
fishing is cool. I hated biology, though. It was one of my worst classes that I did not enjoy when I was in high school. I don't know if it was the teacher. Her name was Mrs. Hagstrom.
Ew.
And she was a fucking hag, too. Rachel Hagstrom. She was not nice.
Rachel.
Hagstrom. And I don't know. It was the whole, we had to dissect the pig and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really, whatever. Not that I
didn't. I never dissected anything in school.
What did you do? Did you just miss that day?
I guess I took like physics and chemistry and...
Are you saying you didn't
I guess
have...
I just never took the biology elective as far as the sciences go.
I thought that biology was a required class to graduate is what I was told.
Maybe simple biology.
Yeah, just biology 101.
But nothing like... cutting frogs or anything. Maybe my teacher just didn't do that in the instructive area of the class. I don't know.
She was probably a PETA lover.
I don't know. I don't even remember.
You didn't do the fetal pig and the frog and all that stuff?
Even the earthworm or the daffodil?
No.
The daffodil was a fun one.
Yeah.
I went to Lebanon, dudes.
Oh. Well, I went to Central Inn, which was pretty hillbilly-ish.
Did you guys... like dissect hay bales or what'd you do?
Dissected tweakers.
We dissected food stamps.
Yep.
We had chemistry class. That was great. Everybody had their own little bathtub and empty mayonnaise jars, and we made some stuff, and the teacher wanted it all at the end of the day. And
he's like, now you guys did real good. Now give me all that shit.
Dude, my friend Dust in science classes throughout the years dropped probably 6 thermometers that broke, and you had to pay for them. They're $30 a pop, you know, with the mercury and stuff.
Yikes.
He would drop one literally like 3 inches off a table and it would somehow break.
Why was he doing that?
You'd just drop it, but like 3 inches is nothing. And then you'd look over at the other end of the room and some guy would drop it from like 6 feet up in the air and then it wouldn't even break. He had the worst luck every time. Didn't matter what happened, it would just break.
The worst luck.
Mm-hmm. No, so, I guess there's worse luck than that. But.
Do they still have a Timber Carnival here in Albany?
No.
Do they have any kind of fair with like a...
The Art and Air Festival?
But does it have a carnival and stuff?
No. They have
several
the Lynn County Fair.
Throughout this.
You got the Strawberry Festival in Lebanon.
If you're looking for a carnival, there's one that pops up over at the old... across the street from the Mega Foods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was just there a couple weeks ago.
Couple
months that was just there a few weeks ago. I was wondering, do you guys ever, like, I know you probably might not go to fairs, but, like, I used to go to the State Fair and a lot of different fairs and stuff. Do you ever get drawn into playing those, like, ring toss or ball in the bucket games to try to win a stuffed animal for your...
Sure.
Do you ever get too far into it and think, fuck, I got to keep playing to get my money's worth
on this? Not a long time, maybe when I was a child.
So there was a story.
I like the dime toss.
This guy in New Hampshire said he lost $2,600, his life savings, at a rigged carnival game, and all he got was a stuffed banana, and they gave him $600 back the next day.
What? They gave his money back?
$600 out of $2,600.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He went to this Fiesta Show Carnival in Manchester, New Hampshire, and he played the game called Tubs of Fun, where you try to throw a ball into a tub.
Yeah.
He was trying to win an Xbox Kinect. And so he didn't win, and he had so much money into it that he went home and got the rest of his money and played Double or Nothing until he had lost $2,600. And then he complained that the game was rigged and it's not possible to win. And he went to the people who own the place. The Fiesta Show's vice president, John Flynn, said the game is run by an independent contractor who said, you know, he's been with the carnival for years. It's the first I've ever heard of it being accused of being rigged. He said,
Nobody's ever spent $2,600 trying to win.
That's a lot of money.
He goes, I know it's a difficult game and I've tried it myself and I've only done it once out of the 20 times I've tried. But, so he came back to complain the next day and they gave him, like, I saw a picture of him on the internet, a banana, a big stuffed yellow banana that was bigger than him. And he's carrying this fucking banana and he's all pissed. The camera's watching him and they gave him $600 back, which is weird.
You
but
know,
they still got $2,000 out of him for a banana.
That was a storyline on Duck Dynasty, because that show runs on storylines, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, it's written. Sure.
But, yeah, the Cy won $2,000 in the company party. So he bought a massage chair, and then he wanted to keep it at work. So it wasn't going to work, and so they went. And anyway, he ended up getting the $2,000 back, and what he spent it on was basically a Chuck E. Cheese game to win the prized animal. Spent like $1,600 to win a little purple gorilla, and then $400 on pizza.
What the fuck? That can't be. That can't be. That's probably
a storyline.
Yeah, I was gonna say that can't be true, but
I really liked. There were some games at the Timber Carnival. Looking back, that were fantastic. Throwing darts to pop balloons, and behind the balloons were numbers, and you won a poster.
Oh, we got some kick-ass posters.
Yeah, and some of those numbers were like a star, like a red star, and you could win. They had those like Jack Daniels or Motley Crue Coke mirrors
with a little frame on them.
Yeah, the little paper.
They weren't
frame.
Labeled as Coke mirrors, but we know what they're for.
I didn't know till years later.
Yeah, yeah.
I come home.
They
my,
just look
my
nice
parents
on
are like,
your
wow,
wall.
Look at all that cool crap you won. I was like, yeah, I got all these roach clips and all these Coke mirrors and I won all this stuff. I got a nice collection going. And I was blown away that they were naive enough. They didn't have any idea what the hell that stuff was.
They didn't know what a Coke mirror was?
No, they weren't into it.
Oh, Jack Daniels and Coke, I get it. You pour Coke on the mirror?
Yeah.
Roach clips.
I remember those, yeah. And just some of the booths, they would just have wall-to-wall posters.
Yeah.
And you'd throw a dart for a dollar.
Yeah.
And then you'd throw a dart in whatever poster you hit.
Samantha Fox. That's what I hit.
Exactly.
Stoked.
But it does seem like all those games
the cars.
Where you had to get a ball through a hole or you know, it was just like the odds were way against you that the angle
the
had
soft
to be
here into you're the going, apple bucket.
Yeah.
That was a tough one.
Bounce out
at
everything.
That angle.
Yeah.
And you had to really kind of toss it and roll it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the poster one, you know, you're basically paying a dollar for almost your choice of poster.
Yeah. And that was perfect.
And I've even heard of, like, I hate to say it, but douchebags at a carnival that's, I'm going to get that big stuffed teddy bear for my girlfriend, and they end up spending $30-$40.
Mm-hmm.
That's not terrible, I guess. I mean, it's going to cost you $20 for a big stuffed animal that size anyway. But
and to get in her pants.
$2,600? Well, maybe it'd be worth, maybe he was trying to win some. Oh, it was an Xbox Kinect, that's right.
Yeah.
So his girlfriend could lose weight. I'll spend my life savings on that. I love you, but you're fat. So, we got Jim in the studio here, Jim Louder from the band Norsk. I'd like to ask you a couple questions. I saw a few months ago you playing the piano in a studio, and it said that you were tickling the ivories on the new Norsk track. You guys recorded a one-off song, not a demo, just one song?
Yeah, we recorded one song for a compilation that came out 5 days ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool, it's out.
From Aeolian Empire, based out of Portland. And they're doing a lot of killer stuff. But they put this compilation together. 26 bands, 26 songs, and it's cassette and digital only.
Whoa.
For the time being, yeah. And you can get that at Aeolian Empire, and that's Aeolian, Eolian Empire.
Okay.
And they have their own website. They've got it on Bandcamp, and you can download. I think it's a $5 download.
Cool.
You can find a link. I really don't know where the links are because they just gave us the stuff.
We'll put one on the side, but that sounds cool.
It's pretty sweet. I mean, there's a lot of just absolutely killer bands. The whole compilation is great. I've got it on my telephone where I keep all my music, and the way they organize the songs and the bands that are involved and what everybody did for it is it's fantastic. It's just a killer listen. 99 minutes, yeah.
We got I just got a truck and a camper, and it has a cassette deck in it.
Excellent.
So I can listen to cassettes again, so
sweet.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
I will pick that up. And I noticed you guys over the last couple months been playing a couple here and there shows, Seattle and... The Highline or something, is that where you played?
Yeah, we went to the Highline. That was February, I think, we went to the Highline and played with Samoth Race and a couple of bands from Seattle there.
Oh, and just the other night you guys played in Portland, didn't you?
The last 3 weeks we had shows. We did,
I can't pronounce the band. But
we did Stump Fest, which is always a really good time.
Oh, yeah,
two 4 nights.
420.
Yeah, the weekend of 420 and got to see the guys from Floor and Black Pussy.
And that actually sold out, didn't it?
The second night?
That was awesome.
The night we played sold out, so that was really fun.
Cool.
It was such a huge electric crowd. The energy was unbelievable.
That's awesome.
And then we did, the weekend after that, we did the release show for the cassette comp from Aeolian Empire. Keep Our Heads is the name of it. And then this last Friday night, last week, we did, We opened for Kvelertak.
Yeah, I couldn't say it. Thank you.
Well, my friend Rosie, she, we're standing out in front of the place, and she's like, "So how do you say that band's name?" I was like, Rosie, I don't know. I've kind of been doing this, thing all day.
Because it's spelled K-V-E-L-R.
It's Norwegian.
Yeah.
So these guys are all Norwegian, and they're pumping out the metal. It's fantastic. So she goes and asks the singer. I was like, "Singer's right over there. What are you going to fucking ask him? What the, you know?" She's like, "I will." She went over there, and how do you say your band's name? And he's like, "Kvelertak." She's like, "Okay,
that's easy."
Yeah,
Kvelertak.
So she done that, and we found out, and that was great. It helped me a lot. Yeah. Kvelertak and Black Tusk and Cancer Bats.
Yeah,
last week that was a fun show, man. That was a different show. It was interesting that we played that show because all three of those bands were really high energy.
Yeah,
really, really high energy.
How did the crowd react to your guys' difference of style?
The crowd loved us.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and I was.
Did you guys play first?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was really surprised that there was a couple of guys from a couple of the bands. One of the dudes from Cancer Bats, I think his name was Tim. He was just blown away. He'd never heard anything like that before, apparently, and he had a lot of questions. He had a lot of questions.
What is your guys' trip?
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Why
are you doing this?
Why do you play that way?
What is wrong with you? It's awesome.
Apparently, there was a little bit of anxiety associated with it because they all play so fast.
Yeah.
They just grind out. And
yeah.
They were watching us, and he was just like,
play the next note already.
Note. Yeah, what the hell are you doing?
That's too cool.
Yeah, it was a fun show. The Hawthorne Theater, man, that place is such a great place to play.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting night because we love opening.
Yeah.
Opening is great.
And then you get to enjoy the rest of the show.
You get to enjoy the rest of the show. And I had never seen any of these three bands. And a lot of friends have told me that Black Tusk is just killer and I should get into them. So I was looking forward to seeing them and buying some of their stuff from them, which is always a plus.
Always better, yeah.
I
hate to say it, but I like to get stuff directly from bands versus from the label.
I do too, man. I even like, I would like avenues to buy directly from even bigger bands.
Yeah.
Such as like Mudhoney, I would like to be able to buy, I'd probably buy their whole catalog if I could buy it directly from them and have all the money go to support what they're doing.
Just go meet up with Mark Arm and buy some CDs.
Sure, or, you know, send them to me directly.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the best.
Well, that's cool. That's cool, man. That sounds like a fun show. And you guys got one coming up at the end of the month, I see, here at the Ash Street Saloon.
Yeah, we're playing with Bellwitch and Usnia. Usnia is coming off of their West Coast. I think it's a West Coast tour that they're doing. They're going to be
they're going to be done with that. They're doing Eugene.
Who else is
I'm glad you said that because I was mispronouncing it. It's Usnia.
I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I actually was fishing around.
We were calling it Usnia, but I don't know how it's pronounced.
And the folks that I was talking to didn't really know how to pronounce it either, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. So
you can bring that chick and she'll say, "Hey, how do you say your band's name?"
Yeah, she will. I'll set her on a mission.
Is it Usnia or Usnia? What the fuck is it?
Just get the a sound clip on your phone and you could like, you know, on the sly play behind them, and they'll just turn around and say it. And they won't know where it came from.
Magruder grind? How do you say that? What is it?
No. I could create it. Well, I could do it for I could use the Tagcast as an excuse. I could walk around with my phone and say, "Hey, can you do a show association bit for me? We can play on the air and hold out the phone and get them to pronounce their band's name so I know what the hell I'm talking about."
Oof. Yeah, we're always looking for like, "Hello, this is blah from blah."
We haven't got one though. We've said we were going to, and I've never asked anyone ever.
I've never either.
If we were on the spot and thought it was if it was important to us, we would have asked every guest, "Hey, do a little spot. Hey, this is Jerry Murphy, and you're listening to the Tagcast podcast on the internet."
Yeah, we're always so stoned. Who knows what's going on?
Hey, you speak for yourself.
Do you like the Beastie Boys, Jim?
Yeah.
Did you know that just this week they gave
named a park after Adam?
Yep.
I didn't know anything about that till just now.
Whoa.
Me neither.
Adam Yauch.
Yeah. Big fan, man. God, the Beastie Boys were, I mean, when I was a very young man, of course, and they toured with Madonna, of all people.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard License to Ill. My friend got it before I did. I had this best friend, Anthony, who got everything before I did. He didn't have nearly the parental filter on what he was allowed to listen to and what was allowed in the house that I did. So I could always rely on that dude for a cassette, which were certainly easy to smuggle.
Yeah.
Two live crew.
Yeah.
Your parents might not know what a coke mirror was, but they knew what music to let you listen to.
They knew what rap music was.
That's bad.
That's right.
Rap music is bad. Coke mirror, I'm not too sure, but stay away from that rap music.
Right. But Yeah, man. God, the Beastie Boys were
huge influence on me. I think I think I was 16 or I guess License Ill came out in 86, so I was like 17, 16, 17. But yeah, it opened my eyes to that. I'd always been like, I don't know, I'd heard a little Run DMC, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
Walk This Way.
That was pre Walk This Way. Something about, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, just the rock and the fact that Kerry King played a solo. I think I saw the video on MTV. And I was like, whoa, it's the dude from Slayer.
Yeah.
I'm buying that album. And then I liked the whole thing. And by the way, we didn't mention, what are your thoughts? Jeff Hanneman, Man Down. Sad day, isn't it?
That's a hell of a thing.
It took a few days to set in with me, I think.
And I don't, you know, the details of his death is just liver failure.
So vague.
And I heard, you know.
I don't know if they're going to do an autopsy.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the guitar player from Slayer and his liver doesn't work anymore.
Oh, of course. You know, you got to
kind of was just like, well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Well, you think the spider bite played a portion and probably a lifetime of drinking hard alcohol on tour.
Well, you're thinking that his liver was probably already a little damaged from all the drinking.
Sure.
And then he's got this massive infection coursing through his veins that's eating his flesh
coursing
from the inside.
Through his liver.
Yeah, and that's probably toxins all going through his liver saying, oh, this is going to kill us. We got to get it out of here. And probably, but the story I read, it said it's not released and they haven't announced whether the liver failure was actually connected with the spider bite. So,
sure.
Which guitarist do you prefer in the Slayer combo? Do you have a preference?
I'm a bigger Hanneman fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His style was more bluesy, pentatonic.
Yeah, he
it seems like he did his solos on the bridge pickup.
As far as Slayer goes, Jeff was...
He was less...
God, the guy was such a force, yeah. And he, I don't know, his presence was a little more palatable for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that I don't... you know, nothing against Kerry King, you know.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, presence, a public persona?
Maybe not public, but just on stage.
Presence.
Yeah,
okay.
Just on stage. And I have, you know... I have no stage presence. Mm-hmm. So.
I'll get you one. I'll get you one present.
Just one? I need one more.
He's like, I've got a stage present. I've got a present, but I don't have presents yet. I'm working on it.
I'm gonna wrap up some boxes and
put them. But yeah, he was always like, he had that.
I am. Jeff seemed stage presence.
He always seemed to have that little snarl in his lip. Of course, I guess Kerry did too, but, I don't know.
And so did Billy Idol.
Well, yeah, that's true.
He has that priest.
Whoa, dude, that's the best I've heard you interpret any song ever.
That's pretty
really
good.
Usually
thanks.
When you sing a song, I'm like, what song? Well, I'll know the song because you'll sing the name of the song, but you'll be like, oh,
yeah, I heard some pretty whack shit about Twin Peaks on Monday's show.
Falling.
Yeah, I forgot about that already.
But yeah, on the Hanneman thing, man, complete total bummer. The guy was so young.
Yeah.
So young. And when somebody that young passes away from something like that.
Yeah.
And their career has just been so bright and their force in life.
Grammy award winning guitarist.
Yeah. And really, really sad. And for me, I had to, you know, you take an inventory. You just start to look at stuff. Cause I'm no stranger to the cocktail.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, I'm not in Slayer.
Yeah.
And I don't get that many free drinks.
Yeah.
But I do get a few free drinks here and there. And sometimes it's just social. And it's one of those things that, you know, I always get this little like, oh God, what am I doing? Is it a spider bite?
Yeah.
Is that something that I really need to worry about? Like,
yeah.
You know, like
I don't worry about
eating poisonous mushrooms.
Well, I think the odds in someone
that's going to take somebody like that out. That's
yeah.
Just incredible.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I mean, it could happen. It probably does happen to many people every year, but they're just not, you know, newsworthy folks.
He flew and traveled all over the world for the last 30 years. He didn't get killed in a plane crash or a bus crash.
Right.
You know, he got killed by a fucking spider.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, then, of course, after it started to set in after a couple days and I got to thinking, man, 83. That was 30 years ago when I bought Show No Mercy on a whim because it was
19.
Side six at the Record Garden in Eugene. And I was like, had the black eye makeup on. And I was like, what's this? I asked Fat Mike and Dickie, the guys from the Record Garden who, you know, started in Lebanon, the record store.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, if you're into thrash metal and the newest thing that's on the scene, these guys aren't popular, but you got to check them out. And I got to thinking about that, and it was just like,
wow.
So I listened to Slayer for like 4 hours just on a random, there was a radio station that was doing a tribute on my tune-in radio thing. And all the lyrics are so dark and like death, and you know, I'm trying to feel better
like
about
a Mark Maron show.
It's like I'm trying to feel better about the fact that he's gone and all these, you know, necrophobic, and he's died of necrosis and just, or that's not what he died of, but what it was eating his arm. Just
well, if he had to, you know, and it wasn't on stage, going out on stage.
Yeah, he didn't get shot on stage.
Well, I mean, just saying that it's kind of a, it's a story.
And I don't know if you heard, but
it's a metal story.
Oh, it is a metal story. Westboro Baptist Church planning on protesting at his funeral.
Yeah, protesting what?
They think he's Satan, or was.
That's the
Satan. I'll tell you what, he is dead.
Yeah, he is dead.
You know, so maybe they could just like
shut the fuck up.
Maybe maybe they could worry about something that affects their lives.
I'm just absolutely baffled. Not by the motivation of those people, but by what they're trying to achieve by setting up shop and holding up signs that say terrible things like
yeah.
God hates fags.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you claim to be,
sorry to get
I don't
want to
waste, but I don't want to waste your whole show talking about something like that, but
we could.
What motivates people to take that kind of action under the banner of something like protest and free speech? It's just hateful, hurtful, horrible.
What about that?
Terrible.
What about that Brad Paisley LL Cool J song?
I am entirely unfamiliar with.
It's called Accidental Racist, where Brad Paisley talks about when he wears that shirt with the Confederate flag, he's just showing that he's
a Skynyrd fan.
Yeah, he's a huge Skynyrd fan.
And LL Cool J says, if you don't give me a hard time about my gold chains, I won't give you a hard time about the iron chains.
No, I'll forget all the iron chains.
Yeah.
So he's saying, if you're cool, if you don't judge me on my gold chains, I'll forget all the slavery shit.
200 years of oppression.
I wasn't aware that LL Cool J was a slave. I also wasn't aware that Brad Paisley fought in the Civil War.
Oh, he's just saying he's a Skynyrd fan.
He's just saying he's a Skynyrd fan. It's just
the new Skynyrd, though. That sounds like Nickelback.
It's a weird song that I don't know why LL Cool J is involved in it.
Because he's black.
It's just and dumb. It's a shitty song.
It's the Ebony and Ivory of 2015 is what it is.
Oh, no.
It's for racial equality.
You just soiled
I know.
So much cool
sorry,
shit.
Sorry, Stevie.
Yeah, man.
Stevie and who was it, Paul?
Yeah.
Stevie and Paul.
Paul and Stevie.
I don't know if you know this, Jim, but did you know lipstick was created by a man so that he could watch something that looks like a dog's penis be smeared on a woman's lips?
I find that hard to believe.
It is true.
That's all he's going to say. That
and
is
out comes Getch's Getch.
I had a story, but it
froze up. Yeah, that's because you lied just then. It's got the lie detector app.
Yeah.
Now you've got the
Well, what it is now they're finding that it's actually better to rub a dog's penis on your lips because lipstick has all sorts of metals in it that could be toxic levels of metal.
I don't know about the dog penis. Disassociate the dog penis rhetoric from my particular end of this conversation. However, my wife, she does not wear makeup very often, but when she does,
she really does.
She puts on lipstick and she looks beautiful. I mean, you know, she's very tasteful with her makeup. But I have a beard. I have a lot of beard. I have a lot of mustache that, you know, covers most of the time, a good portion of my mouth.
Yep.
And she likes, you know, the kisses are great and we love each other and that's fantastic. But that shit stays on my face for a really long time. And it's wax based or oil based or something. So I can go and soap up and try to wash this stuff off of
and
my
it
face.
Won't go away.
But I'm talking like 48 hours after a shower even. I'll take a drink of water and
you'll
go through the soup strainer and I taste lipstick, man. And that's always kind of freaked me out.
Yeah, they found carcinogens in them.
Of course.
Yeah.
And now I got this. I have a 9-year-old daughter. She wants to wear makeup, and it just kind of freaks me out. I was never really into makeup.
Yeah. 9 metals: lead, aluminum, chromium, cadmium, and some levels could be toxic. Toxic, said the UC Berkeley study. Average lipstick users.
Well, it's Berkeley, you know.
Bunch of hippies.
Average lipstick users are estimated to ingest 24 milligrams of lipstick per day.
Metal!
And could be in danger of overexposure to chromium.
I think I
saw. That causes stomach tumors.
I think I saw something on My Strange Addiction of some chick that was eating lipstick. No, literally.
No,
dude.
She's going to get stomach cancer, I'm pretty sure
this
about that.
This other girl was drinking fucking
you know what it
nail
was?
Polish.
They used to. They
drinking
have those
nail polish.
They have those candy lipsticks. That's the gateway drug.
Yep. Like
and candy jewelry.
And candy cigarettes.
Right, candy cigarettes.
I used to love those. They still have them.
Do they really?
Yeah,
I saw
they call
some
them
with
candy
them.
Sticks now.
Yeah,
think,
they don't.
And
call
they don't
them.
Have the red end. But they're basically the same thing.
You know why? Is because they made. You know, they imported or they fell from the sky, but millions and millions of units of these candy sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with candy corn, you know, that stuff, you know where they get candy corn is they strain it from the sewage treatment plant, send it right back to the fucking factory.
Is it raw sewage?
Yeah, it just doesn't go away.
Because we were talking about
well,
how
corn
you shouldn't
doesn't
eat,
go away.
You shouldn't eat sewage raw, you should
that
cook
happens
it.
With corn too, because I heard of a guy. Well, I'm friends with a guy who's friends with a guy who works in a sewage plant, and his job is after everything's drained away, he has to go back and scoop all the corn and fiber that's left behind.
And make candy corn out of it?
And vitamins.
I think what they should do is because it doesn't probably lose much of its look, they should just throw it right on the conveyor belt to the repack over at the cannery.
No, that's what they're making those compostable coffee cups out of is toilet corn.
Toilet corn.
You can enjoy that, folks.
Yes, yummy, yummy.
Have another latte.
You know, we were talking about accidental racism just a little bit ago. Did you hear about the Mountain Dew? I love Mountain Dew. It's my favorite drink of choice. The Mountain Dew commercial that got pulled because it was too racist. It said that was the most racist commercial ever.
That's news to me, honky.
What you talking about, Peckerwood? We actually explored
Dead,
the...
Honky.
He's got it right there.
Crack,
you, know, yes, you know what a Peckerwood is?
Enlighten me.
Well, a Peckerwood...
And we're talking about the prison gang?
Or simply
slang,
wood.
The slang for...
Yeah. Peckerwood.
It's a slur used through the mid-20th century by Southern whites to describe poor rural whites. Synonymous with cracker, redneck, and white trash. More prevalent in the Southeast, although the white trash one implies a degree of moral turpitude.
Hmm. You know, all those derogatory slurs are just... friendly little words that don't even sound bad. Cracker.
Yeah. That's, Africans Americans saw blackbirds as a symbol of themselves and the red-headed woodpecker as a representation of working class whites.
Pecker
they considered
word.
Them loud and troublesome like the bird.
Yes.
And sometimes with wet red hair. Like a woodpecker. And so yeah, eventually wood came into the prison slang in California.
And then how did it get turned around?
And caused the symbol of the woodpecker to be used in pro-white groups.
It's that woodpecker that's the sticker for those car parts, right?
Or Woody Woodpecker. A lot of them get those tattoos.
Yeah.
It's the Cams, Clay Smith Cams. Mr. Horsepower is the mascot. I wonder what they think about that, like their mascot for their Cams.
Is like a
used.
White supremacist thing?
Yeah. All these guys are getting tattoos of our logo. That's awesome. Wait.
Or is it? Well, this
what
mountain...
if you liked Woody Woodpecker, so you went and got a Woody Woodpecker tattoo, and then the next thing you know, you hear...
underneath
dude,
you
that's,
put,
that's
not
a
racist.
Racist
you go,
tattoo. You're just,
I'm not
what?
A racist.
I just like Woody Woodpecker.
You have to get the disclaimer at the bottom that says, I'm not a racist, I just like Woody Woodpecker.
The laugh across the top and then tolerate.
And in popular culture...
I've got black friends.
Which brought up this to the Peckerwood, well the Django.
Yeah.
And
Django.
The Django.
The D is silent.
Django.
Well, I keep thinking I'm DeGatch.
Yeah,
DeGatch. The D isn't silent.
So back to the Mountain Dew commercial. We'll see if you guys think that this is overly racist.
Sorry.
I watched. It's okay. I watched it and I didn't think it was that. But the spot depicts a badly battered woman on crutches being pressed by police to pick a suspect out of a lineup of five black males and a goat named Felicia. The actors are a member of an alternative hip-hop collective called the Odd Future Wolfgang Kill Them All. That's a weird name.
That's a crazy awesome name.
Odd Future Wolfgang Kill Them All.
What's the letter spell?
O-T-W-G-K-T-A.
Otwa.
Okay, and it was founded by rapper record producer Tyler, the Creator.
Oh, he created lots of stuff.
So anyway, the goat is taunting the lady, saying, "Snitches get stitches, fool. Keep your mouth shut. I'm going to get you out of here and do you up." The goat's saying that like trying to intimidate the lady, not the pick. Saying, "I'm going to do you up." But they removed the video from all Mountain Dew channels, and Tyler, the Creator, has removed it from all of his channels, but it's still available on
YouTube.
That's
a bummer.
Yeah.
Because Tyler, the Creator, of all the things that he created, a little bit of that Mountain Dew mailbox money would probably have
I know,
been the smartest
totally.
Thing he's created.
Yeah. Well, I think he had another one before that featured Felicia the Goat, and that's his voice. Felicia the Goat.
That's what was racist about it?
That sucks, man. You know, you put all that work into something like that.
Well, there was another one where the goat is just like chugging this bottle of Mountain Dew, and it's like he's holding the bottle like this far from his mouth, but the Mountain Dew is just like going into his mouth, and he's like,
mm-hmm.
Felicia's a Mountain Dew crazed goat.
And then what was racist about it?
Because it was said that it was alleged racist stereotypes against black people and violence against women.
Goats.
Degrading.
Yeah, so the goat was depicting
a
bad
person. I guess he said, "Snitches get stitches, fool." White people don't normally say that. Or
if the snitch has access to good health care.
Yeah. Or has a good needle and some fishing wire.
Yeah. Otherwise, you just get some of that second skin.
I just call
it on there.
I just call it fishing wire.
We used super glue.
You ever call it fishing wire? Got me some fishing wire and a needle.
Only maybe if you're going like above 50 pounds in test, maybe, right? You're probably looking at some rope.
Depends on where you're fishing and what you're fishing for. You know, ocean fishing for salmon, you could use a multi-filament piano wire type of you know, stuff. That's, stuff that's built for 50, 60
I don't think
pounds.
Even, I think the majority of my salmon days was 30-pound test. But 20 pound on the leader.
Yep.
Hey, I know those guys.
Or maybe you'd go a 20 pound with a 12 pound leader. Maybe that would be like a smaller salmon or a steelhead type of roll.
Mm-hmm. So you got to figure, you got to account for current and what your boat's doing as well.
Sure.
And once you get out past the breakers on the ocean, your boat could be listing and current could be pushing your boat up and down on the waves. So you get these huge fluxes of tautness.
Do people troll with downriggers for salmon?
Yes, they do.
Wow. Hmm.
Yes, they
do. That would be
do.
Fun because then, you know, I like the whole downrigger thing. We used to fish for kokanee over at Green Peter with the downriggers. And it would just be fun because, you know, after you release it from the downrigger, which holds it down there with all the gear, you wouldn't have all that weight, you know,
right.
Fighting. You know, it's a nice, you just... You and the line and the fish, and you're just tiring them out.
To eliminate the need for a downrigger by default, by proxy, I do all my trolling from a canoe, so I don't get enough speed.
So you got the, you don't have the little 9.9 horse motor on the back.
Yeah, so I saved a lot of money on boat to begin with. Yeah.
Right on.
Downrigger gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know. Well, sure, if you're fishing and just as you're floating down the river and stuff, you know, got the oars going and keeping going.
Yeah, trolling from a canoe is fantastic because the boats are afraid they're going to knock you over. A lot of people are pretty wary about getting too close to a canoe.
They stay away from
you. Well,
it creates this insulation around you.
That's cool.
Out there, so you get lots of space. And they're fantastic for jumping in and off banks and just getting...
Yeah,
you can make it, if you got two people.
Are you talking about like it's got like you got the feet on the bottom of the canoe, so you can walk around? It's just like a waist canoe.
No, this is a canoe.
That's like a boat.
Do they have those though? That are
like a Flintstones canoe.
Well, kind of, but
it would sink because if your feet went through, it would have holes.
No, it'd be more like waders, like a waterproof, almost a fin type of system.
I think that's crazy.
That's a great idea, though.
No, it's not.
No,
it's insane.
What if you had
a
boat,
a duck boat?
It's like a float tube, but it's a boat.
Yeah, it's a float tube, but a canoe on at
where you put your legs in, and you got flippers down there, and instead of having oars, you just kick yourself around.
Well, it's a float tube. They got that.
No, but a boat, a full boat size.
How are you going to move that thing?
Two or three people flipping.
Well, you flipping your feet.
So you're flipping your feet,
yeah.
And what if you capsize?
Then you're just flipping your fucking hair.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, you wouldn't.
You should take that
balance.
Shark Tank.
You just wouldn't.
Shark Tank.
Just would not.
Look, I'm designing the boat, not you, Jim.
Shark Tank, dude. Take it to
him. No, do you ever, like, get dragged by the fish when you're in your canoe?
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Oh, man,
you can catch
great.
You know, you can catch a 12 or 15-inch trout. We'll move that canoe around. And
that's awesome,
it's really affected,
man,
by the wind, and it's a killer way to
go. Now, are you familiar with what a friend of mine called a yellow eye?
A yellow eye bass?
He just said a 20-pound yellow eye, and that the guy that he was fishing with said it had to have been at least 40 years old.
A yellow eye?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be a bass.
Talking
they were, they were fishing
belly?
In the ocean. And he caught a bunch of ling cod. He maxed or limited out on that and caught a couple red snappers, mm-hmm, and a yellow eye.
Yo, yellow eye, that kind of sounds familiar. It might be a rockfish.
I think it might
like
be, too.
Like a canary rockfish,
and
maybe.
He said he was, this is a funny Fisher story, so excited that he forgot to get a picture of it.
Yeah.
But he had to throw it back, you know, mm-hmm, of course. But, you know, he's not really that much of a fish storyteller guy.
He usually has
pictures.
That would make sense because there are, I was just reading the regulations because the season opened up a few months ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do a lot of saltwater fishing, but I do some fishing from the jetty when we're crabbing. We'll throw our gear in, and then we'll go out by the jetty and fish for ling cod while we wait to check our pots and rings. But
yep.
There are two fish that look a lot alike, and one of the ways you can tell, I think it might be a canary rockfish, but I could be completely mistaken.
I got it right here.
Might be talking out of my ass.
Google!
The yellow eye rockfish is a genus of the Sebastes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest members of the Sebastes, it is also known as the red snapper.
So it is a red snapper. He said he caught a couple red snappers and
one
a
of
yellow
the
eye.
World's longest lived fish species. It could live up to a maximum of 114 to 120 years. Why wouldn't it just be a maximum of 120?
Because there's 14.
Maybe somebody caught one and they could prove it was 114.
As they grow older, they change in color from reddish to brightish orange to pale yellow in the old age. So yellow eye maybe is an older when they've turned the yellow.
Yeah, and that's probably why that Fisher captain guy said, that thing's probably 40 to 60 years old.
Yeah, they were prized for their meat, declared overfished in 2002. Is that a real problem,
overfishing?
It is
overfishing? A real problem, overfishing. And I think where I was going was in the regulation book that you get from the state there, they were talking about the ways to discern between these two fish. And it's pretty common. Some people will catch a bull trout and they think they have a brook trout or something, a freshwater mm-hmm. fish, and bull trout are in a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. So they put these excellent photographs to say, look, this is how you can tell. And that particular rockfish, I believe, is one of those examples of, here's a picture of this regular snapper and here's a picture of this yellow eye. Yeah.
Right on. That's cool.
You know, some people call the female genitalia a red snapper sometimes. That'd be kind of scary if
I don't get that.
Had a yellow
eye.
You
seen a red snapper up close?
Yeah, I have. I don't get it either.
Yeah. I mean, I
don't get it enough.
I eat both.
Yeah. But would you eat a red snapper if it had a big yellow eye right in the middle of it? If it was between a lady's legs and her red snapper had a yellow eye?
Yeah.
That'd probably be like a big pus pocket.
I think I would have to be in the moment.
So what's the protocol when you catch an endangered fish such as the yellow eye rockfish?
You're not supposed to take them out of the water, man.
You're supposed
to leave that fish in the water, and you're supposed to get down and either
take the hook,
remove your gear
mouth.
If you can without hurting the fish too
mm-hmm.
much,
mm-hmm.
or cut that thing and let that fish go with the gear in its mouth because it will rust out.
Yeah.
All right. So it is better to if you can't get the hook out easily, just to snip it. As far as like catch and release,
I've caught when Lake Billy Chinook. Many years we fished out there, and there were bull trout there. And you catch a bull trout on accident, or just a little bull trout fingerling, because mm-hmm. they're so damn hungry and they'll eat just about anything.
Yeah.
I will cut the line and not even attempt to remove the hook if it's in the lip.
Right.
How long does it take to?
That depends on who's buying the hooks and
all
what
right.
kind of hooks and what size of hooks you're using.
The Gamakatsu. I'm using the Gamakatsu, expensive colored ones.
Nice, the barbed ones.
Cheap little eagle claw hooks.
Oh, yeah. Eagle
that
claw.
Are really thin. I use really small gear when I'm fishing somewhere where I know that there's there's fish that are in trouble there.
All right.
Yeah. Just
little,
so that.
Little pre-made leaders, maybe?
If not, I don't use pre-made leaders. Oh, okay. Yeah, I tie my own
and
leaders.
And sometimes if you can hold the line up and just snip half the hook off.
You can, yeah.
And that way it'll come out a lot easier.
And maybe. I use hemostats so that if they swallow the hook, I can get way down in there and pull it out.
Does it kind of work like a sliver? You know how it'll work itself out?
It's barbed. So, I mean, it's like putting a sliver in and then pulling it out and having part of it break
like
off.
Like those bugs that climb up your penis when you're peeing in Amazon.
Oh, those barbed fish.
It's like a harpoon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't study those fish at all, do you?
I do not.
All right. So, I had another yellow eye question. Oh, when I used to fish a lot until maybe about 16, 17 with my pa.
Yeah.
With my old man, a lot of salmon fishing on every weekends and, you know, we'd go over to Tillamook and Alcee and we'd do all sorts of training. But one of the practices in the circles was you throw back, you catch and release the males, and you keep the females because the roe is salmon bait.
Yeah.
Is that a problem in the fish life cycle?
No, I don't think salmon? So. If you're catching, nowadays, a lot of times with hatchery fish or fish that are being put in the water, they one of the processes they use is they pressurize the eggs at a particular point in their development.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll put these eggs in a big cylinder, and they'll apply pressure. I think it's about maybe 10 tons of pressure or something to these eggs. It's a lot of pressure.
Wow.
At a particular stage in their development, maybe it's one, I don't know. I can't remember how much pressure it is, but it's pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And they apply this pressure. And what that does is it halts the development of functioning sex organs. So a lot of these fish are sterile.
So they're not able to spawn out in the wild.
Now, 15, 16, 17 years ago, which feels about right age-wise, I'm not really sure if these were native fish that you guys were catching. And
The regulations at the time,
you know, may have been that native fish are fair game because the fishery wasn't in as much trouble as it is now. But
restrictions on farm fish versus fish.
Yeah. So if you catch a native steelhead, and again, you're not supposed to take them out of the water.
Wow.
And you're supposed to be really gentle removing your gear. And you let them go, man.
Wow. And because they snip the fin, one of the
fins.
They do.
That adipose fin is going to be clipped, the one between the dorsal and the tail. Yeah. Hmm.
Wow. I'm learning a lot.
But now it's different in different bodies of water, and that's why the regulations are so important.
Sure. Yeah. So. Well, if you're going to do fishing, go and grab one of those free books and do a little research on where you're going to be fishing. Because you're going to learn, where the holes are. You're going to learn.
You're going to learn a lot, man.
Yeah,
it's not just that.
You want to do research.
You know, a lot of people are under the impression that, like, if it's got that fin, you can't keep them, but it depends on where you're fishing. Because some lakes are full of holdover and they're doing really well, like Olali Lake up in the Cascades there. Love fishing that place. It's a complete slaughter. The water's crystal clear. The scenery is incredible. It's aside from the mosquitoes, it's an amazing place to camp and fish for a few days.
Wow.
And last year, non-clipped fish were fair game. And these are fish that have been in there for a few years.
So,
and these fish
sized.
Are footballs, man. They're footballs. Like pigs just hogging through the
and
water.
And like you say, if you're paying attention to all that information they're giving you, you're going to know when those.
Because the guys right next to us were
when they just stock.
We're letting all the non-clipped fish go. And I went and grabbed the regs and I said, hey, you guys are cheating yourselves out of some deliciousness there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's the good stuff. That's a 2 or 3 year old trout, rainbow trout that's been held over in a frozen lake is tasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with you doing a lot of mushroom hunting and you like to fish and a lot of outdoor stuff, you like to go, you're familiar with a lot of the hot springs around the area?
I'm not.
No.
Yeah, I don't take my shirt off.
Oh, so. Yeah, I guess.
No, I've heard there are a lot of nice hot springs, Brighton Bush in particular, and then one of my biology professors, she lives down in Vinita and says that there's a nice little sort of private and awesome little area of hot springs down there that she frequents. And, I know that they're out there, but it's not something I've ever, really been too interested in.
When I was a teenager, we went up to Cougar Hot Springs, just to party a few times, which is out up past Eugene, I think, Highway 58 or something like that, but I can't recall. But I got some friends that are trying to talk us into going to Bagby Hot Springs, which is, I believe it's north of Detroit Lake, a little bit south of Estacada.
You're going to end up with those penis fish, dude.
Yeah.
Isn't that where the penis fish live, is in, like, hot water?
I have never really heard reference to any penis fish.
It's not
in the
a
Detroit
penis
Lake
fish
area.
Yeah, and these are in the Amazon, dude, over there.
Okay.
Like,
no, but
they do. Have,
I don't know. I always heard rumors that hot springs kind of like held bacteria at a
when you're out
about
boat fishing for the day. You do see what people commonly refer to as brown trout.
Yeah,
because people don't want to bank up and use the restroom.
Oh, sure.
They just dump right off the side of their boat.
Oh, brown trout.
Pat caught a brown trout at the, what lake was that? That he caught like a huge brown trout, and then he mounted it on his wall.
Oh, that was a huge.
Yeah,
it was
like the second biggest out of the lake or something like that.
27-inch brown trout.
And I heard, speaking of the sewage industry earlier, I also heard that condoms are often referred to as rainbow trout.
Ah,
by people who work in the sewage industry, water treatment. Yeah,
too funny.
A rainbow trout.
I've been reading a new Stephen King book. Well, it's not that new. It's new to me. A collection of short stories, and I just read one called A Tight Little Place, I think it's called. It was about this guy who had got pissed at this other guy because he kind of had it. They were kind of fighting over this piece of land, and he bought it from a guy who was senile, so he got a better deal than he should. And then it was a long story. It was long for a short story, but short story long, long story short. It turned out this other guy was pissed at him, and he owned a construction site that he was working on this development, and he got shut down because he got audited because he'd been crooked. Well, anyway, he kind of lured him there, and he locked him in a porta potty. And apparently porta potties at construction sites have a like metal on the, they put metal on the sides so vandals can't like punch holes or kick them in or whatever. So he locked the dude in this porta potty and like told him all this stuff. He thinks he's a gay witch because he thought that the reason he has cancer is because the guy cast a spell on him and that he's a fag and he's a gay witch.
Are you sure it was a gay witch or like a gay witch, like a gay sandwich?
It was a gay witch, dude. Like, right. Because he cast a spell on him. He made those people audit him. So then he dumps it over, right? And the guy, and these porta potties have been not used or serviced for a couple months because the construction site got shut down. So he, this is like the most descriptive Stephen King book about all the porta potty shit and how he was in it and how he
so
was
the whole story's him trapped in there
about the last half of him trying to get out and trying to kick a hole and trying to, and then he ends up crawling
to get
he crawls down in because he sees a beam of light coming through a broken seam at the bottom of the holding tank. And he's already on the front of the door, so he climbs down in there and like he gets out. No
it
spoilers.
Like
it's
a
great
on,
but it was weird. I was reading in the camper. My wife had already fallen asleep, and it was late, and we were by the river and we're camping. And I'm reading this story.
Yeah, that's
and
the stuff. Man.
I don't know if I farted and didn't know because I was so into the book, or if my wife farted. But like right when I was reading this passage
to life
about all this shit and how there was like a turd right on his leg or something. And I just all of a sudden I was like, oh,
damn you, Stephen.
I know. I like it emanated from my Kindle. Like it was so weird. I was like,
dude, smell a book.
I had to tell the wife, too. I was like, I don't know if you farted in your sleep. I usually know when I'm farting. I was really engrossed in the book. I might have let one out without realizing
engrossed.
It. Or it was engrossing. That story was so engrossing.
It sounds like a twisted version of the Cask of the Amontillado.
Oh, yeah.
Where he gets
walled up in the
This is the shittiest Stephen King story I've ever read, though. I've never heard him go into such detail about scatological subject matter.
That's awesome. What's the name of the story?
I think it's called A Tight Little Place.
And what's the name of the book, the collection of...
It's called Just After Sunset.
Just After Sunset.
So it came out in 2011?
I was a big fan when I was a kid, and oddly enough, referencing my folks again, rock and rap music were a no-no, but however, for some reason, they found my interest in reading.
Yeah.
And they let me read just about any material that I wanted.
As long as it was
in
the library.
Stephen King was huge. I used to get those books for Christmas, of all things. And
Cujo and all those.
Yeah. And they got me the Bachman books and Different Seasons one year.
Yeah.
Because I had just maybe mentioned that, like, these stories are long, and I need to finish this one before I start that one. And so they looked into it and got me these books. And the Bachman, his short stuff is...
I
love Edible.
Yeah,
his long end stuff's great too, but the short stuff just blows me away.
Have you read Everything's Eventual?
No.
14 short stories came out in like 2000?
No.
It was one of those weird things, kind of like me smelling the shit when I was reading the story. I was flying, the first time I'd ever flown. I'm going to Reno for some leg convention for this new computerized leg that I got. And it was weird. I got halfway into the story before it ever went anywhere, and I'm on a plane. And then all of a sudden, he's on a plane. And then the fucking plane is like, he's falling asleep and dreaming that the plane is crashing. And I'm nodding off as I'm reading the story. And I'm on a plane reading a story about a guy falling asleep on a plane. It was fucking so surreal. But yeah, that whole book is really good. And this one is just after sunset. And I just read another short one, but it was just one book, not super short. It's called Mile 81. Kind of a coming of age, but it ended up being a car eating people story, which was kind of already done in Christine.
Yeah. I think the last Stephen King I read was Cell. I think it was called Cell.
I never got through that because it didn't grab me. The Cell about a cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a signal being sent through cell phones that basically erases your memory. And
I need to retouch on that.
You talk about his short stories, you know, that could probably be long stories if he, you know, embellished on them, which his long stories are.
Fuck, man.
Right? And so what if you took classic masterpieces and edited them down to short stories, like no longer than, what, 3,000-4,000 words?
Like Cliff's Notes?
Yeah. But no, but, you know, you still
like
kept
the Wikipedia
text
synopsis
of the book. You still took the text of the book, but you just edited out all the fluff. So just bam, 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 all action points.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah. You'd never get to know the characters. Yeah. You wouldn't know what they were thinking.
Because Stephen King's got this deal where he develops characters like crazy.
So
you fall in love with this guy. You hate that lady.
Even
you
in a short story?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sure, you could do with other classics then, too, couldn't you? Like, just by cutting all the fluff.
The story of The Body, I read that before I saw Stand By Me.
Yep, me
fortunately.
Too. Yeah.
Fortunately for me.
Then they came to my town and filmed it. It was surreal.
Yeah,
All of my Stephen King things are just like, is this really happening right now?
And then you hit him with your car one time when you were driving through Maine.
Your only trip to Maine, who knew?
Yeah. I was just going to stop by the Stephen King Museum real quick. But thump.
I did hit
on my way to go and get some maple syrup from Vermont.
I hit an old guy in Brownsville once, but it wasn't Stephen King.
Mm. I love Brownsville,
man.
Sometimes he wears
a hat.
His name was Vern Troyer. No, that's what I said last time. His name was Stanley Troyer, but I get him confused with that midget from...
Yeah, Vern.
Yeah.
From Surreal Life?
No, I don't know that. I was going to say Austin Powers, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Juno.
His second most popular work.
Was it?
Yeah, his first was Surreal Life.
Oh. What do you think that Mike Myers' most popular work was, Wayne's World or Austin Powers?
Ooh, Austin Powers.
Yeah.
You know, my daughter saw all the Wayne's World movies, and she loved them, and she thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, they are fun.
Because, you know, it's pretty good material for a 9-year-old.
Yeah, they're fun movies.
And so what she hasn't seen, and of course she was into Shrek, and seeing a kid make these connections when you tell him, like, you know, that's that same guy, and there's this, and here's that, and we got the Netflix. So it's like, well, here, watch his Best Of. And she's like, he's hilarious. I'm like, yeah, he's great. You're a huge fan. She has not
Simon
seen
Drawings.
Any of the Wayne's World movies yet.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think we're gonna throw down
a Wayne's World or Austin Powers.
Wayne's World. She's seen all the Austin Powers.
Oh, I thought you said she's seen all the.
I think he did, but he. We'll have to.
I get confused.
Back to tape. Yeah.
All right.
But cool. Yeah, speaking of Netflix, I heard this. I watch a lot of Netflix. There's a lot of crap on it, but you can find some good stuff if it's tried and true, and you already know that it's good. But dude, as a joke, got the Netflix red logo tattooed on his chest or stomach or something. And one of his friends sent the picture to the Netflix Facebook or something and said, you should give this guy something because he did this. And they gave him a year free Netflix.
Oh, wow.
$96.
I thought we talked about a guy had it on his arm.
That might be. This just happened, I think.
Damn, dude, you're ashy.
Yeah, dude, it's my paint scratch.
Ashy Gatch. What's going on, buddy?
Dustin Ashel.
I'm bringing lotion.
I use all my lotion for other things.
Ooh, let's move on.
I don't know
please.
If you guys have ever gotten into the comedy stylings of Bill Burr, but he has a wonderful little bit about the communication.
Netflix.
He's like one of the things hanging out with a lot of black folks, and that's one of the things that we completely missed the convention on was lotion.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got like two or three specials that are on Netflix and stuff to watch, which you can check out if
hilarious.
You haven't seen them.
They are good.
We're going to get to Hans' thing.
A podcast, too.
Doesn't everybody? I think Hans has a podcast now.
Hans, yeah.
He just complains about his job and his band at work. He's just like,
it's always something.
Sorry, Hans. Love you, buddy. I can't remember what he's listening to today, but God, the other day, He always hits me on a Monday with nothing I've ever heard of, and then Wednesday he lightens up a little bit, and then it seems Friday he's always listening to something I've heard of. But oh, I've heard of this album. It's called Age Eternal by Midian.
Ooh,
great album! I actually have that on a double vinyl.
Limited.
Yeah, it is pretty limited. I don't think they can sell
on
anymore.
On eBay,
right?
You ain't gonna find that sucker for under $30. I bet.
Are they even allowed to sell them anymore?
I just had somebody come after me for my Yob Live at Roadburn 2010 double LP. Yeah, I got a buddy and we're trading a lot of records. And
you said no way.
I mean, come on, you
of
know.
Course.
And he's like, oh man, but he hit up a garage sale over in Albany and found a lady that was selling tons of punk records, and she had Neurosis is Through Silver and Blood double LP, the original release.
Wow.
He got it for $2.
Whoa.
And it's worth $500.
Yeah.
You know, you look it up on eBay in the condition that it's in. And so I just kind of, I don't know, man. It's a tough one, but we're going back.
We were just talking about garage sale.
We were just talking about garage sale. It was Monday last week. We talk about it all the time. My wife always finds good stuff, and I don't because like, we've decided.
Yeah, I go and I find like nothing.
I'm like, well, if I went there, would I have found something good? No.
No. Nope.
Probably not.
I would have walked right by it.
I found a Jim Nabors record. It was 50 cents.
Sweet.
I bought it. Do you know he's gay? He just came out of the closet, but everybody knew he was gay forever.
He just did?
Well, just a couple months ago, we read a story on the air about how he announced that he was in a relationship with a man, and the news story said that though everybody really knew he was gay, he had never actually. Like,
I thought he came out years and years ago.
Maybe he did, like in the Rock Hudson era.
You were reading between the lines.
Well, golly,
yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, his partner is like 20 years his. Younger.
Well, go Jim Nabors.
Yeah, man. He's getting some.
Because really, I mean, who cares anymore? You
I know. Well, he's like 80 and the guy's like 60, so it's still kind of.
Yeah.
Go Jim Nabors.
Yeah.
That's right. So, yeah, I've been listening
that
to.
That old yellow eyed rockfish.
I've been listening to Slayer a lot lately, so that's what's in my CD player is probably Show No Mercy right now. Mm-hmm. But what's the last thing you listen to on your own accord?
Like I'm trying to think. I just
something
got
that you put something on the
just got
table.
A pile of records from this guy, from the garage sale thing this afternoon, and the last one that I listened to was it's one that I just got in the mail. I ordered a new copy of Flower Traveling Band's Makeup LP.
That's the name of the band, Flower Traveling Band.
Flower Traveling Band with an N. Huh. Japanese band worked heavy in the late '60s, early '70s.
Huh.
They have a very, very distinctive, awesome, incredible sound. Their most popular record being Satori. Don't get me started on dates because I'll totally blow it.
All right.
But Makeup, the double LP, they just repackaged it and put it out. It's absolutely fantastic. And it's studio and live material, and it is absolutely incredible.
Another band I've never heard of that I need to check out. So thank you for that, Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday I watched a movie called Nothing.
Was it good?
Yeah, I've seen it before.
Oh.
About these dudes who are able to hate away things.
Oh my.
And so they things are culminating. They're in trouble with the law and their house is going to get torn down, and they suddenly find that they hated away everything. They walk outside the door and the whole thing is white.
It's like, nothing.
White.
It's called Nothing.
Yeah, Nothing.
So Netflix movie?
Most no.
No.
I found it online. I had to watch it on one of those funky sites.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of the movie takes place just in a white nothingness.
Hmm.
And then, you know, it's all about, I don't know, it's kind of a funky trip. It
sounds kind of interesting.
It's about the guy who wrote or directed Cube.
Okay.
And it has one of
Jennifer Lopez, is she in that?
Cube?
Yeah.
No.
Cube
is that one.
Oh, I'm thinking The Cube.
Sci-fi movie.
There's two or three of them, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, there's two or three and then a prequel.
There's a stage show, too. Yeah.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Cube 1, I really enjoyed. The other ones, not so much. But they're one of the same guys. The autistic guy in Cube is one of the main guys in Nothing.
Cool.
Although he's not. Autistic and
yeah, life. I Cube that was killer, man. I loved Cube.
You've seen Cube?
I don't think
Cube.
So.
Speaking of sci-fi,
oh man,
and of course,
on Netflix.
Yeah, it might be.
Okay, I'm going to check that out too.
Cube.
If you're looking for something to watch on Netflix, the last thing for me would be Time Crimes and sci-fi Spanish film. Absolutely incredible. I highly recommend you check it out. If you can dig Spanish. If you speak Spanish, you're styling.
Is there subtitles?
Subtitles, yeah.
I don't mind subtitles.
I can't speak Spanish, but that's okay.
Yep, there's subtitles.
Como se llama?
It's
Don Rickles' birthday today.
Don!
I didn't even think he was still alive, but you know how old that guy is?
I don't know.
He's old, dude.
84?
What's going on here?
Yeah, he's 93.
Almost, 87.
Wow.
You guys were kind of split right down the middle. That was pretty close.
I'm going to go with...
He could still cut you down, though, with a fucking insult. Yeah. Insult comic. I think he kind of invented that, didn't he?
He's related to Don Johnson.
Oh, that's...
His real name is Don Rickles Johnson.
Has he toured with Dan Paul Schaefer?
Yep.
And Terry David Letterman?
Yeah, Terry David Letterman.
That's so stupid.
You know that there's a guy named Paul Schaefer, a comedian around the area?
Lives in Albany. He just won.
His name is Dan Paul Schaefer.
So his name's Dan Paul, but his name's Dan Schaefer. But on the thing when we did the comedy contest, which he won $1,500 cash and took the title of Oregon's last comedian standing.
Oh, he did, huh?
Yeah, $1,500 and $2,500 in prizes.
It's good money if you can get it.
Yeah, I came in like 70th, no, 17th, or I don't even know what, but I didn't even make the finals. Anyway, he lives in Albany here, but he's real picky about his show. I was like, if I book some shows, you want to do it? He's like, oh, I'm kind of selective about what venues I do, depending on who else is on the venue and how much I get paid. Oh, so you're one of those guys, huh? You're not doing it for the love of comedy? You're doing it for... I'd like to do it for both, but I do it for the love of comedy. But yeah, Dan Paul Schaefer, and I just think that it's funny that he would even go by Dan. Just it should just be Dan Schaefer. But Dan Paul Schaefer.
Sure. Terry David. Dan Schaefer, I like that.
Terry David
or
Letterman.
DP Schaefer.
Ooh, that's negative connotations in the
Why?
World.
No, it's not.
DP?
Yeah.
Don't be an accidental pornoist.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen DP used in abbreviations of Dr. Pepper.
Oh.
And Diet Pepsi. People go, oh, I'm going to go and have a DP.
That's not good to say.
Well, that's it's also not good to go and put on your Facebook when you go and get a facial down at the mall.
What if you say, I'm going to go have an anal DP?
I don't even know.
It's a new kind of anal Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, but I don't know. I hope somebody doesn't.
Soda depository?
Yep, that's right.
Oh, it'd be like one of those little root beer barrels.
Yeah.
A suppository?
It's called a cork. It's a bung.
Yeah, I always giggled about that. Everybody giggled about that back in the brewing days.
Like, about the bung?
Yeah, did you disinfect the bung?
Yeah. I didn't know that a bung was actually the cork that plugs the bung hole.
Yeah.
Yep. There it is, in black and white, on the sheet of paper with everything that comes with your brewing kit.
If you say,
the bung.
Oh, he kicked him right in the bung. You're kicking him in the bung hole. You don't have humans don't have bungs.
They don't,
Well,
some might.
If you have a gay lover, you might.
Oh.
He carries my bung.
Oh.
Sorry, I had to go there. I think we're about ready to wrap this up. We got to go get some pizza. I'm starving. Pizza Now.
Yeah.
Thanks for sponsoring us, Pizza Now. You guys are awesome.
Love Pizza Now.
I'm going to buy some more Mountain Dew. Be racist, because I'm thirsty. If you can't tell, my mouth is dry, and Dustin's skin is dry. My tongue's a bit ashy.
It's just my paint coming off.
War paint?
No.
Your Indian paint?
Yeah, my tan paint.
What? You have tan paint?
Yeah. I do that spray tan.
Hey, what was Hans listening to?
We said it, didn't we? Did we forget? Oh, no, he's listening to Midian. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be reminded.
You totally made me think I forgot.
Sorry.
Because I do that all the time.
Don't listen to me,
no,
man.
I will. All right, Jim, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks again for having me.
And go see Norska on May 31st at the Ash Street Saloon. That's on 2nd in Portland. It's a great place for a show. I love that place. Unfortunately, Heather's gone now, but is the new sound person cool or what? Don't know.
New crew there is incredible.
Cool.
A crew that's been around for a while. I believe a club that is now the White Owl Social Club used to be the Plan B. I believe that it is the crew from the Plan B.
Wow.
Is rocking that place.
Punkers. Nice. Yep. Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Well, I got to go check out the new Ash Street crew. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a happy hump day. And metal. Hello, all you taggots. Welcome to the plug section of the show. It's where I tell you what to do, and then you do it if you want. Plenty of stuff going on as far as comedy and heavy metal and rock shows coming up in the Northwest area. May 9th, you got Jay and Silent Bob at the classic historical Baghdad Theater in Portland. Then the next night, May 10th, comedy at the Baghdad with your host, Tristan Spillman, featuring comedy from Jason Goad, Brendan Kelly, Aaron McSmith, Xander DeVoe, Sean Jordan, and Paul Barak. It starts at 10 o'clock. It's 21 and over, and it's $5 at the door. May 11th, 30-pound test at Cloud and Kelly's in Corvallis. That's 126 First, downtown Corvallis. I believe it's $5. Also 21 and over. May 16th, Usnia, Ninth Moon Black, and Dirt Clod Fight in Eugene at Lucky's. That's a Saturday night. It's going to be a great show. May 17th, also at the Baghdad Theater, David Alan Greer from Living Color fame. Funny fellow. Go check him out. May 18th, Tormentium, Panzer God, Dead Conspiracy, and Infernus. Plenty of good black metal and heavy metal there at Rauchur in Portland. Also that night, if you'd rather, you go to the Wonder Ballroom for Cannibal Corpse, Napalm Death, Immolation, Cretan, Beyond Creation, and Magruder Grind. I just like saying Magruder Grind. Wonder Ballroom, check online for tickets. I will probably be at that show if I have my way. May 24th at the Baghdad Theater, it's the Whiskey Tango Improv Group up there with Tristan Spillman on a Friday night. May 28th, Bolt Thrower Benediction and Hellshock at the Star Theater in Portland. And then if that's not your cup of tea, you could maybe go have some cake at the Doug Fir Lounge. That will also be the 28th. May 31st, another show with Usnia, this time featuring Norska, Bastard Feast, and Bellwitch at the Ash Street Saloon. That's on 2nd in Portland, Oregon. Also May 31st, Fear Factory, Hate Eternal, Cobra, and The Lotus at Hawthorne Theater. Lots of good shows coming up. Same nights, you know, you got to choose what you're going to do. June 1st, Lamb of God with Decapitated and Terror at the Roseland Theater. June 4th, Intronaut, Scale the Summit, and Earth to Ashes at the Hawthorne Theater. Alvin Palooza 2 is coming to the Riverside Community Center here in Albany on June 8th. That's for a great cause. It's a scholarship that goes to youngsters to help them with their schooling. And it's in the name of a young lady that passed away from the area. That'll be Strange Dichotomy, The Milestoners, Apophis Theory, Bikini, American Roulette, and Ed to Shred. I think it's like $10. You can check on Facebook for that. June 8th, World of Lies, Necryptic, and Damage Overdose at Katie O'Brien's in Portland. June 13th, Tracy Morgan at the Newmark Theater in Portland. Pauly Shore is going to be at the Wow Hall on June 20th. June 21st, Leonard Skinner at Sleep Country Amphitheater with Bad Company. And then the one I was going to tell you about that I almost forgot, May 17th, up in Portland. It's a Slayer tribute band called Live Undead. They will probably be dedicating the show entirely to fallen hero Jeff Hanneman. It's going to be a Saturday night. And I am forgetting, the Analog Cafe is what it's called. It's 720 Southeast Hawthorne. Spawn will be playing as well, and The Suppression. So go check that out. Tons of good stuff for you guys to go do. You go to TagCastPodcast.com.